From the County National Bank studio, time for the County National Bank weekly radio segment. Barry Malik hosting.
Good morning, Greg.
Today from
Wealth Management.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
Well, another month has passed, and we're back again to talk about wealth management.
Well, today I have a special guest, and I'm going to be very brief here at the beginning to allow enough time for interesting conversation on our topic. First of all, I just wanted to do a quick rundown. County National Bank's investment management style is heavily weighted toward the academics of investment and economics and the capital markets. And those academics and just the history of statistics show that the value and the small companies tend to outperform over the long term overgrowth and large companies. And because of that, we have a broad asset allocation, but it's tilted a little bit more heavily toward the value and the small cap. And that being the case, those two really have been out of favor for over 10 years now and are long overdue for a rotation into favor. That has started toward the end of last year and beginning of this year. Value again is outperforming growth, 6.07% year to date, and the growth return was 3.84. On the small cap, 15.61 on the small cap value, and even in the small cap core and growth, about 14% there. So in line and consistent with that academic approach to investment management, I want to introduce our guest today, and he is professor of business at Spring Arbor University, has been there since 1989 in that role, and he is a very astute and professional prognosticator of the economy and the financial markets. And his name is Randall Lewis, Dr. Randall Lewis. And so I want to welcome Randy to the program today. And just before he starts, I want to give a brief background. He's got a Bachelor of Science in Accounting from Tri-State University. His MBA is in Finance from Central Michigan University. And his PhD is in finance, economics, and international business from Michigan State University, where he had some teaching roles there previous to Spring Arbor. So, Randy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, I want to start out with a few questions for you today, Randy, in regard to In regard to the economy and specifically how things are on a local and national level in relation to this COVID-19 pandemic, how is the pandemic affecting the economy, local and national, in your view?
Well, I mean, it's crushed certain industries and it's helped other industries. So it's really hard to say that it's affected everyone equally. That wouldn't be true. So if we look at a breakdown of that, those that have been crushed, we look at places like Las Vegas and Orlando that are primarily into travel and tourism. A larger percentage of their employees, the people that are employed in those cities, are in that industry, and involves the movement of people, and as opposed to other areas like Seattle, D.C., San Francisco, where it's more based on information, the movement of information or technology. So, as you look at these two different, very different types of industries, you have a completely different effect on these industry groups. So I'll just talk a little bit about Detroit then. If you have a very good support system like Detroit does, where you have the industry, auto industry, and you have the suppliers close by, that actually helped during the pandemic. And the auto industry, everyone thought, or the analysts thought that the auto industry would have a huge hit because of the COVID situation, and it actually was not nearly as bad as they had predicted. The small businesses, including retail restaurants, in an area like Detroit, are affected less negatively because of the support system, and the auto sales did not come down nearly as much as they thought. For example, GM was down 12% and Ford was down 15% in sales. So they fared relatively well in that. Places like San Francisco, they have, Silicon Valley companies like Salesforce and Adobe. Seattle has Microsoft and Amazon, who all did well because it's the information technology kind of that did well. And then the places like Orlando and Las Vegas didn't do well at all. The airline industry, of course, was hit probably one of the hardest. They were at 65% down in 2020, and theme park revenue was down 69%. I think Universal went from $5.9 billion to $1.8 billion. Huge reduction. So it just kind of, and then other industries like Zoom, or other companies like Zoom, and any company that really was dealing with information and communications, they were all up. So it's just been kind of, but overall the economy was, of course, affected negatively during 2020, where it reached a peak in about April. I think we had 25 million claims, unemployment claims at that time. So right now, I mean, I think we're under 5 million now as far as unemployment claims go. So it's much better, and it's getting better by the day.
It is fascinating how different sectors of the economy were affected differently. And, I have a daughter who works in the airline industry, and they definitely felt it, as you had pointed out, in hospitality, travel, and restaurants. Michigan, fortunately, was not hit as hard as was expected, but we certainly have felt it in certain small businesses in the restaurant industry. How does the economy look based on the role of the vaccine as it's being rolled out? Kind of your forward view of 2021 and into 2022?
Yeah, so these are, of course, these are rough numbers because it's really hard to say. There are so many unknowns right now with the vaccine rolling out and how many people will get the injection, their vaccine, and how quickly. But this is based on sort of a kind of assumption that the numbers of people that are getting their vaccine will begin to increase dramatically, and that most people who want to be vaccinated will be vaccinated by year end. But for the most part, the bulk of the people will be vaccinated by summer. And that will begin to see a very, very marked improvement in the economy, I think, in the summer. I think you're going to see huge improvement. And even late spring, I think you're going to see that. For every person who's infected with the virus, they infect 2.5 additional people. As the number of people who get the vaccines increases, that number drops dramatically because there's not as many bodies for that vaccine, for that virus to get into. So that number will just keep dropping from 2.5 down to, zero at some point. So here's some numbers that we can think about. The global GDP declined around 4% in 2020. U.S. declined around 3.5%, so a little bit less than the globe and the rest of the world. But that was our lowest since 1946. And the 2021 global increase is predicted to be 4 to 5%. So the GDP is supposed to kind of turn around just the opposite, really, in the opposite direction to the positive side of 4 to 5%. U.S. GDP and the Eurozone is predicted to be between 4 and 6% in 2021. Chinese GDP is expected to be up 8% in 2021. And they were up even 2.3% in 2020, which I think they were the only industrialized nation that was actually up in 2020. Everybody else was down. It'll take about a year to get back to the pre-COVID levels, approximately. I mean, we're not going to get things are going to look a lot different because we've changed as an economy and as a world. We've become more efficient. So that will actually help the economy to get back quicker because the efficiencies were forced on us through Zoom and some other means that will probably some of those things will still be intact as we move forward. And as we've learned over the last year, these things will begin to move into different industries, and they already have. The unemployment rate in the United States was 3.5% in February. It jumped up to 14.8% in April, back down to 6.7% in December. I mean, what are you, you know, it's just a, like a yo-yo. It's just right up and down. And currently at 6.3%, which is predicted to drop to about 4.8% by year end. So we've got this, you know, 3.5 back down to 4.8 over about a year, almost 2 year period, with a high of 14.8. So it's been an incredible ride here in the last year.
Yeah, very much so. Now you had mentioned the GDP growth for the U.S. If I remember correctly, you said it was off or down 4.5% for the U.S. Is that right?
3.5% down in 2020.
Yeah. Okay. And then for 2021, expectation is 4 to 5% growth on the positive side.
Yeah. You know, they're all over the board in terms of the analysts, what they're saying, but 4 to 6% is what I predict.
Okay.
I think it's going to go up at least 4, and I think 4.5. That's my best guess. I'm going to say 4.5.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Very interesting. Now, for our listeners and the people who, you know, where the rubber meets the road and hits their pocketbook and their retirement savings, how do you see things playing out for the capital markets, interest rates, and things that affect us in a day-to-day capacity?
Well, that question, a lot of that question revolves around inflation as far as interest rates go. So if we see more inflation, we're going to see higher interest rates. If we don't see more inflation, we'll probably see rates like stay low at least all of 2021, because the Fed has all but promised that they would keep rates close to zero, kind of moving forward until they can see this improvement in the economy from all the stimulus. As far as the stock market goes, it did plummet by over 30% in the spring, and it ended up the year around the S&P 500 around 16% up. We know that there's about a 9-month lag, and this is a debatable. It could be 6 months, it could be 12 months, but we know that investors typically look for a 9-month lag. In other words, the stock prices reflect what the investors think the economy will be in about 9 months, so it's a predictor in some ways. So the fact that it was up 16% when the economy was down for the year, it tells you that investors think that, you know, by September things will be pretty good. So the price earnings ratios are very high right now. Typically, in the past, historically, the price earnings, which is the price of the stock divided by the earnings per share. So it essentially tells you how much you're paying as a percentage of the earnings you're getting. So the higher you pay, the less of a bargain it is. The lower you pay, the lower the P.E. ratio is when you buy the stock. Of course, the more bargain, depending on its own kind of historical P.E. ratio. The Dow, well, I should say the average has been for the last 90 years, has been between 15 and 20. And the Dow right now is at 28. So it's about double, you know, what it should be, or what historically it would be, almost double. And the S&P 500 is at 32, even higher. And the NASDAQ, which is, you know, more small stocks and technology and the growers in the economy, it's at 72, which is unbelievably high. So they're all quite high. But then we look at earnings predicted to potentially go up as much as 20% earnings of companies in 2021. And that should justify and bring down some of those PE ratios so that we can continue to get the surge in prices. And that's, I believe, what will happen. I believe the market in 2021 will produce average or better returns, and I think it'll be similar to the 16% that we saw in the S&P 500 in 2020. And so these so industries that will that took the biggest hit will probably benefit the most, like airlines, theme parks, restaurants, retail, miscellaneous retail, that kind of thing. Small businesses, I mean, they're gonna benefit the most because of this. They got hurt the most, kind of coming down. And I think the industries that will benefit the least are those that had the major benefits from COVID in 2020. So those industries will either be flat or they'll be down potentially. There is one cautionary note, though, that higher taxes could put a damper on the recovery. So if the corporate rates do go up from 21% to 28%, which is being looked at the moment, we're going to see potentially a damper on corporate earnings. So I don't know if that's going to happen in 2021. I doubt it. But if and when it does, and I do think it will in the next 2 years, we're going to see a bit of a kind of a drag on corporate earnings, which will hurt the market a little bit. Now, the other thing that you mentioned earlier, you said something about value stocks and growth stocks. There is really, when you look at growth stocks in 2020, they did unusually well. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking about, you know, 40% returns for the year. 40-some percent returns on the NASDAQ, for example. But we saw that growth stocks in the small, mid, and large growth stocks all did very well. In fact, they were the top three categories in 2020. And so I predict that you're going to get that. Just like you said, I predict that we're going to see this turnaround, a little bit of a turnaround, at least in value stocks and dividend stocks. I think we're going to see those actually do potentially better than growth stocks in 2021. Mm-hmm. Because they've been hit so hard and growth stocks did so well in 2020, I think there's going to be a flattening of those.
Mm-hmm. And we're way overdue for that change. We've got about 2 minutes left, Dr. Lewis. Briefly, if we could talk about the effect that the fiscal policy has had, financial infusions of money, stimulus, and, you know, that's had an effect on some businesses, small businesses, especially trying to attract people. But has that been a bubble builder, if you will?
The stimulus, yeah. I mean, if you look at what happened with that stimulus money, a lot of that stimulus money is sitting in banks right now unspent, okay? So a lot of that was intended to stimulate the economy didn't ever happen because you'll just see some buildup of cash balances in many banks where people just put the money in the bank and basically look at it as savings. But we had some major stimulus in 2020, and trillions of dollars, and we're going to see potentially another, you know, between 1 and 2 trillion happening here in the next few weeks. So personally, I think, you know, a lot of that money didn't get spent from the first two stimulus acts, and I really think that probably going into debt by that much probably is not that healthy long-term for the economy. It will have a chance. There will be a chance that it will increase inflation, all that government borrowing. And I think that would be bad for interest rates. It'd be bad for mortgages, you know, and everything. So the inflation rate gets pushed into the interest rate, and the interest rate gets pushed higher as a result of all this printing of money by the Fed. And that stimulus really is probably not necessary at this point because the economy is starting to improve kind of on its own as more people get the vaccine. So if we didn't, and if we do need a stimulus, maybe we could just target it to those who are really in need as opposed to giving people a check who already have a job and are really doing just as well as they ever were, you know, before the
Yeah. Randy, thank you for that very thorough synopsis. Very much appreciated. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but once again, we'd like to thank Dr. Randall Lewis for being a guest on the program today, and would love to have you back sometime if you're able to do that. We're going to wrap it up here. If anyone needs to get a hold of me and has any questions regarding investments, financial planning, estate planning, and so on, you can reach me at 517-768-0043.